Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Does our understanding of faith save Mormons? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. If there's one question that I've heard from many Latter-day Saints, it's this question about, well, what you believe as a Christian, if you believe that we're saved by faith and that's all there is to it, then obviously, why wouldn't you think that all Mormons are saved? I've heard this so many times, and just recently I was looking at a Facebook thread, and on the same day that this one statement was posted on a Facebook thread, I also received a personal email from a completely different individual, at least I assume it is, that basically said the same thing, that what I believe regarding what saves an individual, it should be enough to save Mormons. So we're going to talk about that today. This was posted on a Facebook thread. It was under the Facebook page, A Convenient Religion. It was posted on May 14th, 2015.
It says, according to the way you believe, I should be just fine. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I believe in Him and His saving grace, just not the way you do. So why should I worry about my salvation when as long as I believe I'm saved?
Okay, so let's dissect this a little bit. First of all, let's take that first sentence. According to the way you believe, I should be fine. First of all, if that was really the case, why are we even having this conversation? If I truly believed that my understanding of what saves would also cover you as a Latter-day Saint, then why would I even be challenging some of the things that Mormons believe? Why would I be asking Mormons if they have the faith themselves? Now, that leads me to another point. According to the way you believe, I should be just fine. Wait a minute. No, you're not going to be saved according to what I believe. You need to be saved according to what you believe. And I think that's the problem. Because when I ask Latter-day Saints if they do have this assurance that they are truly saved, and when I say that, I mean it in the context of exaltation, that's where I find that Mormons don't have that kind of faith. Now, they may have faith in something, but do they have faith in the right thing? He goes on to say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I believe in Him and His saving grace. Well, what would be the question that you would ask to that statement, Eric?
Well, saving grace to do what?
Exactly. You believe in His saving grace, but how does that saving grace that you believe apply to you personally? When he says, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I believe in Him and His saving grace, my question is, well, what did He save you from? Why is He your Savior if you're going to say that He is your Savior? What did He save you from? This is why I think that question needs to be asked that way, because when I ask that question, I find that most Mormons really don't have the faith that they have been saved from the penalty of their sins. There's certainly the potential there in Mormonism for them to be saved from their sins, but that potential involves what? It involves a repentance, which, as we've discussed, is this understanding that you have confessed and forsaken all your sins, not to repeat those sins ever again, and then you have to keep the commandments, not just some of the commandments, all of the commandments. But when they say that I have this faith, how is faith understood in Mormonism?
I'm wondering, Bill, this first part of the thread, when it talks about, according to the way you believe, I should be just fine, and I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, I wonder if one of the reasons why a lot of Latter-day Saints don't make evangelism a big part of who they are, certainly the missionaries, that's a big part of who they are, but when's the last time you had somebody come up to you in the mall or knock on your door who tried to share with you the LDS faith? I don't think a lot of Mormons think that's a priority, because in their mind, they think you're going to be just fine, especially if you're a Christian. Oh, that's wonderful, I've been told. You're a Christian, and you believe in God, and even believe in grace, and so I'll get one of the three levels of heaven. So for a lot of Latter-day Saints, I don't think it's as important as it might be to us as Christians who believe that there is a line in the sand, and there's heaven and hell, and it's a pretty serious business.
Well, yeah, we do believe that this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. And even though that is taught also in the Book of Mormon, when especially it talks about in Alma 34 about the danger of procrastinating your repentance, I've said many times that if a Mormon really loved me, the best thing they could do would be not to tell me about Mormonism. It would be better off, according to Joseph Smith, for me to die in ignorance of Mormonism and have the ability to embrace Mormonism in the spirit world and then go right to the celestial kingdom, than for Mormon missionaries to come to my house and tell me about Mormonism, and now I'm held accountable, because if I reject it and I don't join the Mormon church, the best I could hope to ever receive would be the terrestrial kingdom. So if the Mormon really loved me and wanted the best for me, then they should really not send their missionaries to my house. In fact, they should do better than that. They should withdraw all their missionaries that are going out throughout the world. Why are they putting all those other people at risk? If, as Joseph Smith said, the chances of them going to the celestial kingdom after embracing Mormonism in the spirit world is certainly much higher than if they were to hear about Mormonism now and then try to live up to those impossible standards that the leadership of the church foists upon its membership.
When we get asked the question, why do you care? Why are you out here telling me about how I'm wrong? Why can't you just be positive on your own end instead of telling me how I'm wrong?
Because I do believe that the faith I have does have a requirement of trusting that Jesus did something for you. It's not just believing that he gave a potential for everybody. It's that Jesus did something for you. He did something for me. He did something for us. If you don't want to believe that, that's certainly your business, but that is what New Testament faith entails. It's not just believing that God exists or believing that Jesus existed. We read in James chapter 2 that certainly the devils believe that there is one God. I would have to assume in the economy of heaven, where the devils used to be, even according to Mormonism, that they would believe that Jesus exists, but yet we see no salvific gain on the part of demons just because they believe in his existence. You have to believe that Jesus did something for you. And that's where I find that most Mormons are lacking. So when he says, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and I believe in him for what? Now I'm going to tell this story once again, because I think it's pertinent. When I had the two sister missionaries come to my house, they were telling me that they believed that Jesus was the Savior or our Savior. I can't remember exactly how they worded it. So I flushed it out a little bit more by asking this one sister missionary, what do you have to do in order for Jesus to be your Savior? She told me the requirement was that you have to repent. How do you define repentance? Well, textbook. You confess and you forsake your sin. How many sins? All of them. When I asked her how she was doing at that, and it's not just this one sister missionary that I'm picking on. I have asked this question of hundreds of Latter-day Saints. When I asked how she was doing at that type of repentance that she had just described, she said she was trying, which means, of course, she had not yet succeeded. I then asked her, don't you also have to keep commandments? Yes, she said. How many commandments? All of them. Again, she's not unusual. She gave me the same exact answer that we have heard from hundreds of Latter-day Saints over the many years that we've been talking to Mormons one-on-one. How did I wrap this all up? I merely said to her, you've said that in order for Jesus to be your Savior, you have to repent of all your sins. You described repentance as confession and forsaking of the sins, yet you say you haven't done that. You say also you need to keep all the commandments, not just some of them, all of the commandments. Again, you said you're not doing that. You're trying, and that's great. The problem is, if those are the requirements for Jesus to be your Savior, can I assume that Jesus is not your Savior right now? She's the one that gave me the requirements. She's the one that told me how she was doing when it came to accomplishing those things. She had not done it. If that's what it takes for Jesus to be your Savior, then I would say that not only was this very faithful and no doubt a very zealous young Mormon missionary girl was obviously not having that saving faith. That's why we're having this discussion.
And I think part of the reason that Mormons get confused is there's not a very clear idea of what is faith or belief. And in Latin, Latin actually breaks down the word belief into three types of words. One would be fides, which would be a head knowledge, the type that in James chapter 2, as you mentioned, that the demons believe and they shudder about the existence of God. Then there's the assenting to that truth. That would be called assensus. So fides, assensus. But the true faith is fiducia. I liken it to being on an airplane and your airplane is going down 10,000 feet in the air and the pilot hands you a parachute. Parachute and he jumps out and there he goes. You don't see him anymore. You can believe in that parachute that you're holding in your hand is real, and that's great. That's not going to save you off that plane. You could even assent and put that parachute on and say, that's great, I have faith. But the only true faith is a faith where you actually jump out and allow that parachute to do its job. And the Bible talks about in Galatians chapter 1, 8, and 9 that there are false gospels. Partial truth is not good enough. And so for this person to think that because they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior is the same kind of way that we're thinking. No, we would say you have an idea of who Jesus is. You just haven't fully had the faith that the Bible requires.
Yeah, because faith is, as you say, it involves trust. We trust completely, completely in what Jesus did on the cross for us. Not partially. We would say that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was all sufficient, like a paid-off mortgage. There's nothing more that we could possibly add. That's the faith we have. But you see, that's not the faith that a Mormon has. So when they say, well, if you say I can just believe, I should be just fine. That's not what we're saying. You don't have that same kind of faith. When you've got Joseph F. Smith saying that faith is always a gift of God to man, which is obtained by obedience, that's not the same faith. So no. Don't say that, well, the way you believe, I should be just fine.
Wouldn't that be equivocation?
Absolutely, it would be the logical fallacy of equivocation. No doubt about it. But then this person goes on that even though they say that I believe in him and his saving grace, just not the way you do, I would say, amen. And that is why I want to have this conversation with you, because you don't believe it the way we do. And then when he goes on to say, so why would I worry about my salvation when as long as I believe I'm saved? Because your faith is only as good as the object you put it in. If you have an erroneous faith, that's not going to save you. You have to have a New Testament faith. And that's what we're trying to get across here. Tomorrow, we're going to continue this thought based on, does our understanding of faith save Mormons?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The new 2015 Revised and Expanded Edition of Mormonism 101 is now available from Baker Books. With updated quotations and new information, this resource will be a worthwhile addition to any Christian's library. In order to give us a boost into the traditionally financially slow summer months, we're offering a signed copy of Mormonism 101 for your gift of $35.01. The 1 cent on the end tells us you'd like to take advantage of this limited offer. Now, if you're led to give more, just make sure your donation ends with 1 cent. Thank you for your much-needed support.